Hi everybody, Brian here from quantlabs.net. Just wanted to go over my recent back test process that I have tried out for the last few days. This is for the current strategy I've been working on, where trend is the emphasis. So what I did was, let me show you it running, probably be best. Okay, so this is obviously written in Python. So there she goes. Okay, I'm gonna pull up a calendar now. Okay, so let me just explain it this way. So what we've done is I've got various files that I've downloaded from, once again, I have downloaded them from Dukas Copy. I've shown a video how to do that, or roughly how I did it. And this thing is very helpful. A lot of people have been asking me about data, wherever your broker's going to be. You want to use their data because it can be skewed quite a bit against you. And it can really throw you off on the pricing when it comes to forecasting. So what I did was, I have here, now I'm just focusing on Forex data only. And I've loaded up one of these, whatever it might be, Canadian, Japanese, Yen, 2004 daily. Now this is a special file I generate, and I'm not gonna fully open this, but you can see it starts as early as January 19th with a time and then the standard open, high, low, close, and the volume. And that's pretty well the same format for all files. So in this case, when I launch this program here, what it does, it will start the process at around that time I just showed you. All Forex files are pretty well go back the same time period to January 19th, 20th, or January 19th or January 20th for 2005. And how it works is, so in this case, not sure what pair it's working on, but generally how it works is, we got it working. Okay, so what we do is, this is for the time period of January 19, 2005. It'll go out, calculate from that point for the next 90 days, and it will do a trend line measuring the slope here. Okay, this is a standard data frame. Then we also use the R value. I just actually track it. Statistically, I've shown you how to calculate the number of positives on that date range, as well as in this case with the moving crosses, I'm only using 20 and 50. I'm not adding in 200 EMA because it's just more complicated than needed for this type of test. So again, when the 20 crosses the 50, these are the number of crosses and number of positives are the number of positives in the whole run where the daily returns are positive. Okay, so I calculate a result from all of these, which is just basically multiplying those numbers I just told you minus the R value. So this gives you this result and I rank it. So what you'll find here, most of the trend drives these results for the currency pair. So you can see here, here's the currency pair ranked at this time for 90 days. These are the currency pairs that offer the strongest, mostly trend. And you can generally tell the trend and the momentum of that trend from the R value that I've shown in one of my past videos, where it's pretty high at 0.9, 0.83, 0.86. It's pretty high. And that's correct, that these slopes are indeed fairly strong. Now, here's where it gets funky. So from that period of January 1st, 19th, 90 days, I then go in and capture the data for the next month after the 90 days. So in this case, it would be January up to February 19th, March 19th, and April 19th. So that's 90 days. So up to April 19th, then I captured the time frame between April 19th and May 19th. And what that will do is it will calculate the actual moves of these pairs. So it just basically takes the close at that time, which I believe is this, okay, for each of these pairs. And then what it will do is after April 19th or thereabouts, it's going to take a month and it's going to calculate the moves for that time period based upon these particular pairs. So in this case, from the period April 19th to May 19th, there's a 7% a day. How much percent did it move a week after or a week ahead from that date? How far ahead did it move ahead? 14 days. And then how far ahead did it move? And these are all in percentage moves at that time after the fact that you calculate 90 days out starting, again, January 19th, add on 90 days, and that will give you this period of the slope, the R value, the number of positive positions, and the crosses. And then at the 90th day, we calculate, or we don't calculate, but we capture the close at that time. Okay. So again, these are calculated as the pairs that have the strongest slope or strongest trend at that point after 90 days after this date. So then once again, we go out after that 90 days, we take the close at that point, 90 days thereafter, and we calculate the percent move of actual data on the 7 days after when this date was captured or this close was captured. And this is a percent of moves a week later after that 90 days. And then we also do the same thing for 14 days and 30 days. So 1 week, 2 weeks, and 4 weeks. But here's where the trouble comes into play. When you look at these percent moves, weekly, or 2 week, or 30 day, these are all negative. So these have all moved negative after the 90 days. So essentially, if we had put money at this point, whatever the amount was, doesn't matter if it's $1 or $100 or whatever, we would have still lost money based upon these percentages going against us at that time. If we had held on to a position for 1 week, we would have lost, in this case, negative 1.23%. If we held on to it for 14 days, we would have lost 2.79%. And if we hung on to 30 days, we would have lost 2.79%. So that's what these 7% move, 14-day percent move, and 30% move is. And that's for this period of January 19th, 2005. So then we move to the next period, and it will do the same thing where it moves ahead to now May 21st. And does the same thing. So in this case, we have the top three strongest slopes at this point for May 21st, 2005. We can see the Canadian Japanese Yen, the USD Japanese Yen, and the European Japanese Yen had the strongest slope according to this. And again, these are the R values. But yet again, here's where it gets really funky. So the percent moves are really mixed. There's no predictability behind it. So our first pair, we would have made money. The third pair, we would have made money. And if we bought on the close here for the U.S. Japanese Yen, we would have made money of only, now this is in percent, 1.9%. We would have only moved on this pair 0.05%. And the other periods of 14-day and 30 period, we would have lost money. Okay? So now we move to September 19th, 2005. We do the same thing. Here are our pairs. Here are our strongest slopes. But the ones that we're really looking for are these percent moves. Once again, you can see here, it's half negative, half positive. Next period. Now we move into 2006 of January 18th. Once again, you look at the moves, mostly negative on those percent moves. So now that we know the methodology, here we have for May 19, 2006, we have some positive and really only one negative. We move to September 2006. Again, they're all positive. Now, something may be happening in the market where there's very little negative sentiment, but we only have two negative moves. And you go, huh, it may work. This methodology may actually work. But here you get, again, out of 9% moves, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many got? 1. Out of 9, only 2 are positive. For September 2007, again, 3 are negative. Actually, it's just the one pair. But you can see there's a lot of unpredictability with this. So I'm going to let this complete. Actually, you know what? I am going to move. Now, what I'm showing you are the summaries. So here I have this a file that is basically generated, which will basically give you the percent moves of each period. Doesn't matter. We don't care about the pairs, because what we do care about are how did our predictions for the entire set of three currency pairs with the three time periods, which gives us 9 opportunities. Now, that's all fine. What we're doing, what I just showed you, is for three pairs. As you can see here, we only take the three strongest pairs with the strongest trend. But as you know, I've got 35 currency pairs that I'm watching. So we have 35 pairs. Now, these are the percent of moves for this time period of 7-day actual, 14-day of actual, and 30-day actual of percent moves. So this number here is a percent that are positive. Okay, so you can see here, once again, out of 35, only for 7-day actual prediction, only 34% are positive or profitable. After 14 days, only 31% are profitable, and same with 30-day. So in this case, our next period is a little better, 57%, 48%, and 68% go profitable after 30 days. So our next period of September 19th, only 42% are profitable. Is there a trend here? I don't know, but you can clearly see that it's all really unpredictable. And I would consider this test, this process, this way to forecast is inconclusive, okay? Using these methodology of trend, moving average crosses, and number of positives, as well as even trying to capture the R value. It's just not conclusive. You can't get any positive trend analysis or any sort of ways of figuring out, yes, this does work even half the time, because it's all over the map. We get 42%, it may work, 40%, it may work, 51%, then 60, then 40, 45, and so on and so forth. Okay, so I wanted to show you this test is pretty valid in terms of showing you that. Let me just go into my where I have these spreadsheets that are generated, and I can show you. So here is our generated CSVs and Excel files. So once again, here are different snapshots throughout the time period. It goes all the way over to August 2017. And that's the most recent, with 30 days, another 40 days of analysis. So the idea here, so I'll just randomly take one for 2014. And it will come up with a XLS file. You can see here, basically what I've shown you with the slope, And this is for all 35 pairs, okay? So we have here 35 pairs. And essentially what we've got is we have our slope. Let me just load up a better file. So we want our XLS file. Okay. So what we have here is we have our slope. Now I'm going to do a general data sort in. I'm using LibreOffice, which is like a open source version of Excel. Do column K here. I've shown this before. Again, slope. Really, actually, we want descending. Oops. Okay, so we want K descending. Okay, so this is the order that we're dealing with. Now, this is just a random sampling of December 29th, 2014. So once again, we have our pairs, top three being the USD, Japanese Yen, USD, DKK, USD, SEK, based upon our slope and our R value. But here you could tell the trends will be quite strong. This one, not so much. But when you figure out the percent moves, we may have some winners here where this one did okay. FX pair, USD. The top three, actually, I just mentioned, look like they are somewhat winners. Yeah, here, let me just adjust this. So for the 7 day, they were negative. But if you hung on for the next 14 days or 30 days, they would have moved a little bit. 0.87%, 2.78%, 2.72% over 14 day and 30 days. So here's the calculations that seems to work okay. So let's pull up another one. Just to do a rough guesstimate here. Let me do a more recent one. Let me do the most recent so it can be a little more relevant. So this is again 8/23/2017. Let's see what we got here. Now I've been doing this since December, so let me just verify if this is actually okay. One dollar sort descending. Okay, so once again. We have here our okay, I messed up there, I think. So we want column K and descending. Okay. This looks better. This looks accurate. Now, from my intraday strategy I've been playing around with since December till about a few weeks ago, these look accurate. Now, I'm not sure if I've shown slopes or charts on this, but here is the thing. We have some strong long-term trend. These pairs look pretty accurate, where the market's gone somewhat defensive, so we have GBP, Japanese Yen, USD, Japanese Yen, Euro, Japanese Yen in that order. Now, once again, if we hung on to these trades, we would have done all right. The only one that went negative was the USD, Japanese Yen for a 7 day move where it went negative. So out of nine combinations, we did okay. But when you look at the R value, the trend is not so strong, but the one with the strongest trend is the one that went negative after 7 days, the USD, Japanese Yen. Go figure that. Okay, so as I said earlier, these, from my point of view, these tests are very inconclusive. A lot of these ideas came from Nick Trades, NIC Trades. It sounds like a lot of traders use this same methodology. And remember, we're only using daily data here, which I forgot to mention. So these are daily moves. And I think what needs to be understood is this is very good information. But when you look at that file, the move percent that I just showed you here, the number of moves that are just all over the map, you could quickly tell that it's not a very predictable way to use all of this information exclusively to calculate a percent moves. Because of that, the 7-day, 14-day, 30-day, these moves are very small as well. I find we want to get 1% moves daily on our entire portfolio to build it in a worthwhile manner. So yeah, these moves are very small, even over 7 days to 30 days. So that's one thing. But one lesson to be learned from this is this, I wouldn't use this exclusively, but combined with daily charts as well as probably 4-hour charts, you can get a lot more information, a lot more confirmation. Specifically, when you look at the 4-hour and did the same process to see, let's say if you ranked, I don't know, the top 5. So if you know on a 4-hour basis that you still have positive trend for both the long term, because you have a long term trend in your favor, as well as you have the short term trend in your favor, the 4-hour, it is a good combination to work from to sort of even filter out the better opportunities, because this clearly doesn't work. But combined with the 4-hour same process, you may get a different answer. Not only that, but you have to also look at the Fibonacci levels or the pricing levels to make sure that the conditions are right for that they're low value. And you also have the trend and the probability that it will go up, not just go up, but break out, go up. Because that's how obviously you have low risk, high reward. So my point is that you can't use these combinations. I think you can kind of maybe do this plus do the 4-hour, the same process as a way to filter out your opportunities. But where I think a lot of the emphasis is put in is the patterns. I've mentioned the patterns before, be it pivot, or be it the other classic patterns, wedges, flag pennants in your charts, because those charts are generated from numbers, and it's those numbers and results that I think will help you gauge on what I call the bottoming process, if there isn't a bottoming, or if it's in a chop mode, in a choppy mode or a flat line. And at some point, those patterns, which total about 8 classic patterns, that will measure if it will break out. Again, it's not 100% foolproof, but when you factor in the probability of them based upon classic patterns and the history of those patterns and what they tell, it will give you an expectation. Combined with other things like Fibonacci retracement levels on the pricing to see if there's good value in that opportunity, those are just other things that you can use to filter out those more predictable and better positive signals. So there's lots of work still to be done on this. I'm still working or getting those patterns corrected. There has been, as I said, if you haven't seen my video on the pivoting, that's another area of interest. But there's lots of areas to look at. One of the charts that I'm starting to really dig is the signals that my system generates, because it's something that I don't think a lot of people would use. Actually, human traders wouldn't be able to calculate this, just due to they cannot visibly see in their head signals like there's so much processing that goes behind the scenes to generate those signals. But when you look at them from a visual, like this chart here, you can clearly see when you take your green and your red, Like, why would you go into a mode of buying this particular pair on an hourly basis, the Australian, New Zealand, where you can see clearly that for every green, there's a red. So that means it's either too volatile or there's no real pricing opportunity here. Okay. But I bet you if you looked at the 4 hour signaling, it's clearly in some form of a downtrend on the 4 hour basis. So that's something you definitely stay away from. And that's just, you can see here, obviously this is the 90 day trend. Actually, I think it's a 500 day trend. So it's clearly in a downward mode. But if you look at the Euro Hong Kong, which I believe at this time frame was as strong as pairs, let me just see here if that's the case on the daily. So you can see here that there's the trend on the long-term daily trend, it's quite strong. So when you factor in the signaling, again, human traders will never see this, but when you factor in my system, like there's definitely more buying opportunities than selling, okay, based upon that. But when you look in the lower levels here, again, the trend's still kind of going. But now we're on a 4 hour trend, and we may be at a point where it may come off. Let me just try to load up my platform to see if that's the case. But you can clearly see that it's starting to flatline on the 4 hour chart. Hopefully, this will load up. We can verify that by looking at the system. Screw it. Okay, so we have a 4 hour chart that's showing a op like it's just flatlining. Okay, so this is not the time to buy into it. Maybe. But when you look at the signaling on the hour or the trend on the hourly basis, it's starting to go down, it's starting to move against us. Okay, so here there's more sells than buys. So if we go back again to the signaling on this, you can see even on the 4 hour it looks good. So basically what would happen is you go, okay, I'm all interested in this pair, but just maybe the 1 hour is just saying, you know what, we need to confirm on the hourly trend here is that the pair may start to slow down. So don't it may start to turn. And when was this generated? So this is today's the 15th. So this is generated on the 7th. Let me see if I can pull up a chart for that. Let's see, maybe XE. But you can see here 1 week. Okay, so I bet you if I go 1 year, you can see how strong it is from roughly 8.34 went up to 9.7. That's quite strong. That's a yearly chart. So when you look at the monthly, you can see here it's just starting to tail off. And then when you look at the weekly, little bit of move. So you can clearly see that this momentum is slowing down. And when you even look at the daily, it's just getting killed over the long run. But the long-term trend is there. So the point is, even though my system would tell me as it's built right now that the daily looks really good, and the 4 hour and 1 hour say, hold on, this is not a good time to buy. So that's the point, is that you have to look at other periods to see if it's worthwhile. Now, again, to get the pricing levels, if we look at the Fibonacci retracement, I'm not here to teach you that, but I bet you on the 4 hour on this pair here, Euro Hong Kong dollar. See, it's still overpriced. You want it right in here, right in there, or lower, because that's kind of like saying that's a good time to buy. Whereas, let me think here. Another pair that might have a negative trend. Okay, so let's look for a negative sloping one. So let's pick the bottom of the barrel here. Australian, Japanese yen. Okay, let's check out that. So this is a negative trending pair that we're about to look at. So but it's been bouncing back. So what does this mean? Is that mean that this is a long-term trend? Well, let's check out the 1 hour, sorry, the 4 hour. 4 hour trend line. Oh, that is a 4 hour, I'm sorry. So you can see here, it's sort of sloping up, but it's very volatile. And right now it's hit some kind of bottoming process. It has bottomed, but again, you can see it's just trending down on a 4 hour basis. But again, here it's coming back. So the question becomes, well, what do you do? So check out the signaling here. Yeah, you can see on that trend, it's too many sells. This is no good. So if you look at the hourly trend line, but here you can see it's kind of bounced back, and the hourly Fibonacci, see the Fibonacci again. So it's sort of a good value on that chart. If we looked at the 500 day chart, let's see how the pricing is on that Fibonacci there. So yeah, it's still undervalued, which is good. So even though, so if we look at the 4 hour, sorry, the, so we know that the trend is getting killed, but it's coming back, okay? Or it looks like it's coming back. So let's check out the hourly. So it has climbed a little bit up, 82, 83. I mean, think about this. That's on an hourly basis. So imagine from this point, at, I don't know the exact number, but that is a good maybe 5% move. Okay. And it's those little snapshots that matter. So when you look at the signals, here you go. It's gotten killed. And then all of a sudden, we're starting to get a lot of buy signals here. So that little is pretty good to have. So I'm starting to look at these signals are pretty important. Moving average, what does it tell us? There's a cross right there. That's the 200-day moving in, but you can see we have a cross, which kind of is a good way of saying, yes, that is a potential breakout situation. So knowing that, let's check out our Australian, see how it's been playing out. Okay, so if we do, which one was it? That was Australian Japanese yen. So let's check it out. Okay, so here's the chart. See, so for May, we are on a daily. So, but you can see we had a nice move up and then just got clobbered. So again, it comes back to the unpredictability nature. If we put money here, hung on, and that's from 3/12, March 12th, 3 days, if we didn't get out in time, we would have gotten killed and be back at zero again. So just the unpredictable nature of this beast. But just giving you some thought process on what to look for. All the stuff I built is really, really useful. The problem is how do you combine it? How do you figure out the right time to buy, and among other things as well. Hopefully this will help you out. Over and out. Later.